Welcome to today's episode of the Normalized Surrogacy Podcast by Surrogacy Mentor. I'm your host, Marielle Schuberth, three-time experienced gestational surrogate and intake manager for Surrogacy Mentor and Modern Parent Mentor, where our aim is a safe, ethical, and enjoyable surrogacy journey for all. Today, I'm excited to have Jennifer with us. Jennifer is a five-time surrogate, birth doula specializing in surrogacy births, and the surrogacy admissions manager with the Genesis Group. So welcome, Jennifer.
Awesome. I'm excited to be here.
So today's topic is interview with a surrogate, and Jennifer has a wide range of surrogacy experience, so I'm really excited to get to know her and all that she does in the surrogacy community. So we'll just get started here, and why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, and what made you become a surrogate in the first place?
So a little bit about me. I am currently 44 years old. I have one child, one biological child. I have one stepchild, and I've been married for almost 20 years. I found surrogacy by accident, and anyone who asks me throughout my years of going through this, I'm very honest about it. I found it by accident. I went to a doctor's appointment. I was talking about birth control, and my OBGYN at the time said, well, if you're really not thinking about having any more babies, you should consider donating your eggs. And again, not knowing anything about anything, I went to the AOL search engine at the time, because we're talking before all the Google. And I typed an egg donation and jumped on the first thing I saw, because normally the first thing you see has got to be the best, right?
So
went to that application, filled out the egg donor application. They got back to me quite quickly, if memory serves. And of course, I didn't qualify for egg donation. But gosh, if I didn't qualify for becoming a surrogate, and I walked over to my husband and I was like, hey, they said I'll qualify for a surrogate. And I'm like, what do you think? And he's like, yeah, you could totally do that. You know, that's kind of where it ended up. And here we are circa, I don't know what, I started, my first journey was in 2008. So we're talking, gosh, 15, 16 years later. I've done five journeys, 2008, 2010, 2012, 2014, 2015. In 2015 is when I found my agency. And that was my last journey. I delivered twins in 2015. And I found my passion for helping other women become surrogates that same year, which is when I started working for the agency. And I've been there ever since. And fast forward 2 years to 2017, I did my certification through a doula company. And now am a birth doula. I mainly work with surrogates. I have worked with traditional birthing persons, as I like to say, are regular mamas.
Yeah.
My heart really goes for surrogates, because it is a different dynamic. And having been a surrogate and had less than perfect L&D care or postpartum care, it became a sort of a mission for me to hope that no other surrogate ever has to deal with something like that. And so that's where we are now. I've been a doula for about, 7 years. And probably about 150 to 200 births at this point, collectively. So some of those are regular birthing mamas, but most of them are surrogates.
That's amazing. And I think that is like such a cool thing to be a part of, especially with the dynamics and a surrogacy delivery. It's kind of interesting as the surrogate. I wish I would have even thought about a birth doula, for somebody to be in your corner advocating for you, because everybody's focused on baby and parents kind of. I think that's a very interesting and needed, necessary part of a surrogate birth process that honestly I've done three and I didn't even think about that. And I kind of wish I had. That's like a really cool thing. I love that you were able to get that out there as an option, because birth doulas in general, I think, are great, but I think it's a very underutilized tool for a surrogacy delivery. So I love that you are advocating for that and are able to be a part of that for everyone.
Well, I appreciate that. It is definitely something that most people don't think about, particularly, especially when it comes to surrogates, if you're asking their agency, if they're working independently or the intended parents, they're like, well, they've had a baby before. Doesn't matter. Every birth is different. Maybe you're all three of your pregnancies or with your own children were the same. Maybe one out of those three was dynamically different, but every pregnancy can be different. Every delivery can be different. So the idea that someone who's had a baby before should, quote unquote, had a baby before, should just be a piece of cake. No worries. I'm just going to shove a baby out the vagina. All's going to be well. It doesn't really work that way. So it's definitely an underutilized option for a lot of birthing people in general.
Yeah. And I think for those, you know, listening who don't really know what a birth doula is, what exactly is your role in any delivery, especially in a surrogacy delivery? What does a birth doula do?
That's a great question. Doulas have been around since the dawn of time. So if you actually look up the term doula, you're going to find a lot of fun words come your way, like woman servant and servant to, you know, birthing person or person in labor. So it's been around a million years, just like women have been having babies in caves for millions of years. But as far as the atmosphere now, when it comes to doulas, what a doula is, and there are so many different types of doulas, not just birth, which I normally work with, but there's postpartum doulas, there's fertility doulas, there's end of life doulas, there's full spectrum doulas, which I happen to be as well, that deal with kind of every aspect of that. And what we are is kind of point for point what you just said, is an advocate for the patient. And that patient could be a traditional birthing person or it could be a surrogate. And we're not there to make decisions for them. And I think that's kind of another misconception, and we'll kind of talk about it a little bit more, but we're there to help them advocate for their own answers, helping them understand their options, making sure that things are explained to them in a time, in a way that's understandable, helping them work through their options. A lot of us, and this is just a person in general, when we're like, oh, I'm going to go to the doctor and I've got my list of questions and I'm going to get this, 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 you walk in there, the doctor goes, what's wrong? And you're like, I'm good, thanks. That white coat syndrome immediately came, I'm fine. I'm good. Everything's fine. I'm fine. We're fine. Everything's fine. The trash can's on fire and the world's coming to an end, but I feel great. So sometimes when you have an additional person in that room, which is one of the reasons maybe a spouse goes with another spouse to a doctor, like, oh, no, wait, he's doing this. And he's constantly rubbing his face. He's got this weird boil. Like, I don't know why he's not talking about it. Whatever the case may be. Similar with a birthing person, when you go to your OBGYN visit, might be something really small that you don't mention, or perhaps in the delivery room when your doctor goes, oh yeah, this is your best option. Are there other options? How are you talking about everything that's at your disposal? They'll throw medication at you like, oh, we're going to start this and we're going to do this. And are you explaining why you're doing that? So again, we're not there to work against medical staff at all. Most great doulas work hand in hand with medical staff. Mm-hmm. We're not there to tell you what you should or shouldn't do. We're there to help you understand your options and advocate for when you finally decide what you want. Whether it's what we agree with, at least most good doulas, whether we agree with what you want or not, it isn't up to us. Our personal feelings, our objectives kind of should stay outside the door. And what we do when we're in the room with you is support you as a whole. That doesn't mean, and this comes up quite a bit, it doesn't mean your partner can't be there. It doesn't mean you can't have other support members there. With a surrogate, a lot of times when a doula is most needed is perhaps for a single mom or someone who has multiple kids who would feel so much more relaxed and less stressed out and more and less worried that their partner's at home with their kids, not worrying about childcare, not worrying about this. And they have someone solely dedicated to them in the L&D room. But it's definitely, that's what we do. So the long answer to your short question is we're there to advocate for our patients, for our clients, not our patients, but for our clients, and make sure their wishes are being heard and ideally carried out.
Yeah. And I think I'm looking back, I've had, a couple of, traumatic births, and things weren't, you know, fully explained to me. And, I still look back like, and would have done differently had I known all mm-hmm. of my options in the moment. And I didn't. And I look back at like, wow, like this could have gone so differently had I had an advocate. And so I think it's a super cool thing that you do and just a service that really needs to be out there for every birthing person, but especially I think in surrogacy, because the dynamic is so different. And a lot of doctors, like delivery doctors, don't necessarily deal with surrogacy situations a whole lot. So they don't know who they're catering to. You know, they have intended parents over there asking questions, wanting things. They've got you as the patient. And so I think it's great that the patient can have another voice in the room, really pushing for them when everybody else is focused on other things. And so 5 surrogacy journeys. Let's dive in there. So you did your first one as the ultimate form of birth control, it sounds like. Getting mm-hmm. pregnant definitely helps you not get pregnant with one of your own. Were all of your journeys through an agency? Did you do some independently?
So my first journey was with an agency, and it was, as far as a journey-wise, as far as pregnancy goes, as far as delivery goes, it was pretty cut and dry, very textbook. I did not use that same agency moving forward. Not a great agency. I'll just leave it at that. And again, we're talking years ago, so it's not anything that needs to be brought up. However, I was matched with another couple through a mutual friend, and they reached out to me and asked if I would work with them, that they weren't comfortable working with that particular agency, and for good reason. And when I thought about it, I thought, you know what, I would do it. And this is the truth. And anyone asks, again, I'm kind of very shoot from the hip, straightforward. I had already been through a journey. I kind of knew what the steps needed to be done, at least from my perspective. And I told them, I said, you know, I would be comfortable working without an agency if we kept the same attorneys, used the same clinic, basically a copy paste, like, hey, you make it exactly the same, I'm down. And that's what we did. So they, the following 3 were all independent, which, you know, not everybody talks about independent journeys. We can have, there are great independent journeys. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't always end up on the social media pages of all kinds of crazy, because honestly, crazy gets attention, right? You don't hear about the good stuff.
Yep.
Just hear about the crappy. So, but there are people who have great independent journeys. Yep. I had good independent journeys. I was very comfortable being my own advocate, knowing what I wanted to move forward. My last journey, I did eventually find the agency I'm working for now, and they were able to help me kind of navigate through my last journey in a helpful way. Even though I had done it by myself, and it was like, oh man, I have to do all the paperwork. This is amazing.
Yep.
So it was really nice not to have to deal with it, particularly my last time. So, you know, 5 journeys, you don't meet too many of us. There aren't a lot of us that do surrogacy more than maybe once or twice.
Yep.
No, I take that back. You will find someone who's done it twice. You really don't see many one and dones. They're out there, but I feel like they're so minimal. Most of us do 2, some of us do 3, given kind of the regulations that sort of go, or guidelines that come with, you know, how many pregnancies, C-sections, things like that, health, weight, things, et cetera. You know, it just worked out to where I honestly, for lack of a better term or lack of even better terminology, I just was really good at being pregnant. I don't know if that's the best way I can put it. I am not the norm. I had all positive first time transfers, which is unheard of out of all 5. No miscarriages, no anything. I carried twins to 38+1, which is again kind of unique.
Yeah.
But, you know, walked in just really good overall pregnancies, just good at it. That's all I got. It is what it is. A lot of us, I feel like surrogates in general, we kind of get into this under the impression of really helping someone build a family. And that aspect is, just saying it out loud, it sounds corny. You know, as we're like, oh, I'm really, when you interview someone, like you've done intake, I've done intake.
Yeah.
And you interview someone like, why do you want to be a surrogate? Oh, I just really love being pregnant and I want to help someone build a family. Again, very cookie cutter. You're telling me what I want to hear.
Yeah.
Why you continue to be a surrogate is for that last moment, that last little bit of, oh, wow, I'm watching someone hold their child for the first time. That mm-hmm. feeling is addictive. That feeling of, I did that. So that's why you see more surrogates often than not do repeated journeys. It's like, oh, man, I've created their entire life. I've just rerouted their entire universe. And I did it in 9 months. So that, you know, is why there's so many, and what you do and why we do it.
Yep. No, that's such a good way to put it. That's what I always said. It's the firsts, you know, you get to be part of all the first heartbeat, the first ultrasound. Those firsts are amazing. And I always talk about the wave of love, right? Because not only did you help grow a family and help, you know, create parents or parents again, but there's aunts and uncles and grandparents. I agree. It is very addicting. If I could have done more, I would have, but I was in the 3 C-section club and I got cut off. So so now I just get to live through others and helping coordinate other people's journeys. When you talk to other surrogates, it's so refreshing because they get it, right? And mm-hmm. other people, sometimes you talk to them about it and they look at you like you've got 3 eyes or something. And it's like, yep. That's why you're not a GC. Like, either you can do it and you understand it or you can't. And it's just, it's so funny when you talk to somebody who gets it. It's so nice. What would you say, how would a surrogacy delivery differ from a more typical birth scenario for women who are kind of considering this? Like, what would you say is the most different, aside from kind of the obvious, or any, I guess, tips maybe, or any differences that you can kind of think of?
Well, besides it not being your own child, that is the obvious, I think you're referring to. Yep. The other obvious is there's other people. It's not just you and your doctor. It's not just you, your spouse and your doctor, or your support person. It's you, your doctor, the nurses, and the parents, like, or a parent. And so there's other people involved in this process. If you ask someone who's pregnant or someone who went through labor with their own child, some of the things they remember from their labor and delivery, what do you remember the most from your own delivery? What is it that jumps out at you? Maybe how much pain you were in, mm-hmm. how uncomfortable you were, how my husband was over on his phone, not paying much attention to me, or how my mom was driving me crazy, or how it just, the doctor didn't seem to listen, or the nurses were jerks. So there's certain things that jump out at you from your own delivery that mm-hmm. you have control over that you don't realize you have control over. For a surrogacy, you can take that exact scenario and then amplify that to the intended parents are asking when this is going to be over, or they don't understand what it means when we say start Pitocin, or they don't know what dilation means, or they're concerned about this or that, and they're asking me questions. So now you have other people involved that, for all their better intentions, want to be there to support you, can't or don't know how. Yeah. And so that in and itself is a main difference between the deliveries. The other is, and I don't think people talk about this enough, is it is a medical staff and it is a doctor or a doctor on call. It might not even be your own OBGYN, which is 9 times out of 10 what happens the most. Mm-hmm. And the overall bias to surrogacy still exists. Just because you're in a hospital, just because you're dealing with people who deal with pregnancy all the time, has their personal perspectives can translate onto you because you're a surrogate. Mm-hmm. Maybe they've had in their past other surrogacy deliveries that did not go the way they thought it would. They could have had other intended parents that maybe had difficulty adjusting to what was happening in the room, or being argumentative, or just for lack of education, like just drove staff crazy, whatever it is, mm-hmm. didn't turn out the way they wanted them to. There are doctors who are just anti-surrogacy, just like there are people on the planet that are anti-surrogacy. They don't believe in it. They don't like it. They don't understand it, whatever the case may be. And so that bias can definitely come through, maybe not intentionally, but particularly in postpartum. I can speak from experience. I was left in a room and nurses dropped by when they felt like it. The on-call doctor came to see me before I left. I had had a C-section and the nurses didn't really understand why I was there. They didn't know, well, we don't really know why you're here. You don't have a baby to take care of. They weren't sure what to do with me. Doctor made a reference to like, oh, well, enjoy your stay. Enjoy my stay. Oh. I'm not on vacation. This is not a 4-star resort. In fact, I've just had major surgery, regardless of whether I have an infant in this room or not. You need to do your due diligence. So again, it's not, maybe they don't intentionally mean to do it, but it definitely can come through. Even in L&D, they're talking directly to the doc. They're talking directly to you, or they're talking directly to the parents. Maybe they're not talking to you together, or the parents are asking, for lack of a better term, they're asking dumb questions. Yep. You know, they don't know what the difference is between something and something. They've 2 IFs. They'd have no idea what dilation is. They don't know where we have to be at. Like, there may seem dumb questions to you or the doctor, but now the doctor has to deal with that because they're in the room. They're important.
Yep.
Surrogate may seem like we're just kind of there to birth a baby. What we want, what our feelings, what we're going through may not seem as a concern to them. Yep. So that bias right there, that is essentially what catches me sometimes. Yep. Like, wow, that nurse was definitely not interested in hearing what you had to say or caring what was going on or whatever the case may be. We just want to get a baby out, right? Like, okay, let's check ourselves really quick.
Yep.
You know, so that ultimately is the main difference, I think. Having the additional people in the room and also having an outside influence come in, maybe unintentionally, but it's definitely there. There's a lot of questions that get thrown at the surrogate, you know, oh, when the baby's out, are you going to do, you know, because they don't, some staff can't transition from regular birth to surrogate birth. Oh, do you know if they're going to do this? Do you know if they're going to do that? Maybe the parents aren't there yet. And you kept referring them like, well, wait till they get here. Wait till they get here. Well, we have to have an answer. No, actually you don't. The baby's not here yet. The hepatitis B and the vitamin K, gosh, if you can't just wait till the baby's a minute old and the parents are here, I bet you could ask those same questions, stuff like that. It's just overall the atmosphere in the room's different. You know, the mom's worried. The mom's worried for herself, but she's also worried for a baby that's not hers. Yep. So other decisions that you might have made out of instinct are going to be second guessed because I'm thinking about somebody else's baby. So having another soul there who, not just a doula, you know, I'm not saying you have to be a surrogate doula in order to work with surrogates, but having someone who's been a surrogate before, been in their shoes, to have that second soul in there to go, okay, what are you feeling? What are your concerns? You can see it on their face. Like, hey, talk to me. You know, whatever you say here doesn't, you know, it's not, no one's judging you. Yep. I'm not judging you. And everybody else around could, you know, kick rocks, whatever the case may be, for lack of a better, not cussing. But, you know, it's like, what's going on in your head? What is it that you're concerned about? Maybe there was something the doctor said and the IP stepped out and now you can have a real conversation. Like, maybe they're scared. Maybe they're this. Same thing with the IPs. Like, oh my gosh, we don't know what's happening. Like, is this the best course of action? So that's the main difference. It's just having that little bit of, you know, that bias that comes in, or just second guessing yourself, taking your guess as a birthing person, as a mom, because you'd be checking differences for your own kids, as a woman, like, am I doing my best with health for my body? Like all those second sorts of things. Tips and tricks, besides reaching out for support, like if you have the ability to get a doula, get a doula. We're not there to tell you can't have medication. And we're not going to tell you that, you know, I think another common misconception with doulas in general is, oh my gosh, they're not going to let me get my epidural. No, that's not true. Most doulas will always follow your lead. Now, am I saying there aren't doulas out there that are more anti-medication? Like, hey, let's kind of go this to a holistic way. Of course there are. But if that's their case and that's what they do, then they would work with clients who only want that type of birth.
Yep.
Okay. That's how that works. They're not going to walk in and go, nope, you're not going to do this. Absolutely not. No, not going to make medical decisions for you. We are not medical staff. So that's the most common misconception. Oh my God, a doula's there. I can't get what I want. Not true. We're there to make sure you get what you want.
Yep.
I always let clients that I know that I talk to, is like, I'm not anti-epidural. I am pro healthy baby, healthy mama, whatever that looks like.
Yep.
And I think all doulas are healthy baby, healthy mama. So if you don't have the ability to get a doula, tips and tricks, be very transparent about being a surrogate. Like, I want all these decisions to go to my intended parent. I would like to make joint medical decisions with my intended parent, or I would feel more comfortable if there's something they want to address. Maybe they don't have a good relationship with their IPs. Cause let's face it, you know, 50-50, some surrogates love their IPs, others at the very end are maybe more transactional than they wish to be.
Yep.
I would rather talk about my medical conditions, not in front of my intended parents.
Yep.
Whether that's, you know, having them step out for doing cervical checks or when they get the epidural, certain things like that. Do I think that they should be excluded from having a say over their medical care of their child? Absolutely not. I think they should be involved in all those decisions. Always carry with you a copy of your birth plan. I hate to use the word plan because you can never plan for anything, but what you're ideally hoping for and your legal paperwork, because I can't count on how many hands and toes and feet and eyes and eyelashes, how many times you've walked in at 1 a.m. and they can't find the paperwork.
Yep.
Carry it with you, put it in your birth bag, Just have it with you. So when they ask you, they don't have to keep asking you. And you doesn't put that thought in your head, like, oh my God, I'm going to walk out of here with a baby. Yeah, that's every surrogate's worst fear. I'm going to leave with a baby.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a big one. Please, please, please bring your paperwork. Pack a bag like you would always pack a bag. If it's important to you to have videos or photos, get permission first. If it's important to you to have closure to say goodbye before they leave, make that obvious. Just like, oh yeah, it'd be great if you'd stop by. Go, no. If possible, before you discharge, please come to my room so I can hold the baby, get a picture with the baby.
Yeah, I made that mistake in one of mine. Like, I was waiting. I wanted to follow their lead. They wanted to follow my lead. They didn't want to overstep and, like, push the baby on me. I didn't want to overstep and ask to hold him. And it's so we both, like, nobody was saying the thing. We both wanted me to be able to hold him, but nobody wanted to say it because we just felt... We're being too careful of each other's feelings to say what we both wanted. And so I personally dealt with that. So I totally understand and will be an advocate for that one as well.
I think what you just described happens more often than not. Like, well, we don't want to make her do it. We don't just want to stop by with a baby. She's already done so much for us. But on the flip side, you're like, but they don't, I guess they're leaving. They don't care. Like, they don't care about me enough to stop by. So it's that kind of dynamic. You need to be very transparent. And be ready for whatever responses you get in return.
Yep.
So maybe it's like, oh, there might be certain cultural things that, oh, before we do any holding a baby or anything, we have to go through this type of ceremony. Or, you know, maybe that's something that needs to be discussed beforehand. But being transparent about what you want, because when you don't and when you're not in life in general, but especially in surrogacy, if you're not transparent, nobody ends up happy.
Yep.
Nobody. Parents, surrogate, nobody.
Yep.
So, clear-cut, decisive decisions need to be made on certain things specifically.
Yep. And I think that's another great part where I would think an advocate for us like you could come in. And if you know that that's what we want, you know, having somebody there to help you coordinate those things and talk it through. Because, you know, in that moment, I was like, I didn't want to ask, but if somebody was like, do you want to hold them? Tell them you want to hold them. I'll say, you know, my own bias about doulas, I thought they were just for crunchy moms who are, you know, going to do home births and all these things. I didn't even think about it for, you know, mainstream labor and delivery in general, especially for surrogacy. And it should be part of everybody's birth plan.
It is amazing that there are. And I think all the misconception you just said, 80% of birth doulas work through a hospital. Or at a hospital, or will go to hospitals. There are the other percentage that would prefer birth centers, which is great. We surrogates can advocate for birth centers. And there are home births and freestanding births and things like that. So, but I think the vast majority of doulas in general will go to a hospital if that's where you choose to birth. And I think in hospitals is when you need doulas the most because it is kind of very mechanical. Nurses have how many people on a shift at one point, how many birthing people. Just had the delivery this week, right before the holiday, at capacity. I had two nurses who were so excited to see me. They're like, we love doulas. You know, I was able to take a little bit of that burden off of them as far as doing certain things that are non-medical, getting her up to go to the bathroom, flipping her from side to side, finding positions to get baby and laboring down. These are things that they didn't have to come in and do every 30 to 15 minutes. Well, they had an entire floor of other laboring mamas who may or may not have needed help.
Yeah.
And I think there's a hospital bias as well, not just with surrogates, but with doulas. Immediately, oh, they're going to come in here and tell me what to do. No, we're not. But unfortunately, you've always had someone who did. And so you make that blanket kind of opinion of all of us. But yes, what you just said, we're not all for crunchy moms. We're not all hippies dancing to the moon, which is totally fine.
Yeah.
happy to go dance naked under the harvest moon. Anybody wants to invite me, but we're regular people. We have regular lives. You know, we don't all subscribe to a more tragistic, holistic type of approach because with surrogacy, it's probably not the opposite of holistic because we didn't get pregnant naturally, but it's definitely on the opposite end of the spectrum. Yeah. Does that mean you can't have a natural birth? Does that mean you can't have an ambiance that fits that more relaxing to absolutely not. You can have all those things non-medicated. You can have, you know, for me as a doula personally, my job is to create a warm atmosphere So there's smells that you like, there's music or there's sounds that you prefer, there's dim lighting, there's candles, there's comforts from home, there's blankets, there's warm things, there's, you know, it's creating more of an atmosphere of comfortable, not just for you, not just for the surrogate, but for the intended parents too. Like, oh man, you know, intended dads I was just working with, kicking their shoes off, getting comfortable, like not sitting there anxiously waiting, staring at their surrogate to push a baby out, you know? So it just, it builds that atmosphere of warmth and be comfortable. And when you're comfortable, you're more likely to have a good birth. You're more likely to feel more free to talk about things and feel like you're in a safe space. That's, if I could say anything at all and end it or whatever, I'm here to create. I will always hold space for someone. Doesn't matter if it's you. And I've told my coworkers this, or, you know, our managers, I'm here to hold space. Whether I agree with you or disagree with you, I'm here to hold space for you. And that's what a doula does. They hold space for you.
It's just an awesome thing that you do. So being that you are an experienced surrogate, and now you work for a surrogacy agency and you work as a birth doula for surrogates, what advice would you give women becoming or considering becoming surrogates, just getting started, or who are maybe in the process? Like, do you have any advice for women considering surrogacy?
I have said this verbatim in some of my intake. As technologically advanced as we are, and all the changes that have gone on medically, technologically, through artificial reproduction and all these things, surrogacy in and of itself is based on the honor system. Okay. So I have to trust you and you have to trust me. That is kind of the bottom line when it comes to surrogacy. So my advice is to be honest. Don't lie to another person. Don't lie to your intake coordinator. Don't lie to your agency. Don't lie to your IPs, but also don't lie to yourself. If you know your reasons for doing what you're doing and getting involved in surrogacy, be real about it. Come up, be upfront about it. You know, don't set yourself up for failure. Being healthy, making good choices, making smart choices, understanding there are rules and guidelines that not just this agency has to take to deal with, like ours, but every agency and even every IVF clinic. There are some hurdles that just can't be gotten over.
Yep.
So don't be angry if it doesn't work out. There's really so much that we can't do, you know, and whether we want to work with you and we think you're a wonderful person and we know your personality is great for surrogacy, if you're physically not in a place to do it, you know, we would never, and I've said this to disqualified candidates, and hopefully they've taken it in the way that I've meant it, but we would never want to take your kid's mom away from them. Like, if you put it in that perspective. Other things, you know, when it comes to matching, again, being real, but also understanding that intended parents, they come with their own baggage.
Mm-hmm.
It is not just you. They are coming with a reason why they chose surrogacy. You woke up one day and said, oh, you know what? I think I can carry a baby for somebody else. Cool. They've gotten to this point in their life of perhaps their own infertility journey, miscarriages, late trimester terminations, never been able to get pregnant in the first place. You may not even be their first surrogate. So they're going to come in with kid gloves. They're not going to immediately jump into a full embracing journey with you the first 2 or 3 months of your pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of that, they're like, oh, they're super cold and they don't communicate. Well, they're just waiting for you to miscarry because that has been their history. And as coarse as that sounds, it's definitely not talked about enough.
Yep.
Now, you know, I'm trying to think if there was something that I could offer besides the health and mental health, same goes for parents. And I think being in a good space as far as having good mental health or taking care of your mental health is important. It's not a taboo. You know, dealing with quote unquote baby blues as opposed to postpartum depression and understanding the difference.
Yeah.
You know, that is a big topic also. You know, again, whole other podcast. But the you know, understanding that, you know, your mental health is very important. And in order to become a surrogate or go through surrogacy, that you need to be in a good headspace for it. You know, there's so many ups and downs and so many things that you may not even realize going into it that could be triggering for you or what you're doing triggering to the intended parents. That is also another. So I guess that for me is a big one because I feel like that comes up so much that nobody really talks about.
It does. Yeah. Cause it can be stressful. I was just talking with another GC about this, that you don't realize how the extra stress that kind of comes with carrying somebody else's baby. Like there may be something that you would do when you were pregnant with your own that like, oh no, like I was way more cautious with all of my surrogacies. I like strictly monitored everything that I ate and drank down to like the milligram, which I never did because I just felt this like extra responsibility. It adds this kind of unspoken like stress, like, oh, this is somebody else's. And it definitely can be hard to process through that because you don't expect that. You just kind of think extra hard about everything, especially when you have intended parents who are coming from that place of kind of loss or trauma associated with getting to the point of a surrogate. That kind of transfers to you as well because you're kind of feeling their stress. They're waiting for the shoe to drop. And so are you, you know? I wasn't expecting that going into any of my journeys, that kind of extra weight that is kind of there.
Absolutely. It's not something you kind of necessarily want to bring up right away. It's like, we don't want to deter people from doing it, but it's more like, okay. And it's an added pressure. It's definitely added. It's extra stress, but you've signed a contract. Like you've said, you aren't going to do these things. So God, if I do it, what happens? And you know, a lot of questions I get from potential GC is what happens if I miscarry after this? I have to get the money back. What happens if, you know, if transfer is unsuccessful, what happens then? Do they just dump me and I move on? Like, so there is some key things to talk about in the very beginning for sure. But, that extra little bit of the what ifs, like, oh, I know I would drink a cup of coffee when I was pregnant or whatever, but now it's strictly decaf because, you know, we signed this thing and it's going to give the baby a third eye, whatever the case may be. You know, we're extra cautious. So being extra cautious is in and of itself overly stressful, even in your everyday life, you know, so totally something that needs to be talked about.
Yeah. And it's worth it. So don't let me scare anybody away
from it. It's definitely worth it.
And it's not like you're always walking around like terrified. It's just that there is this kind of unspoken extra layer of caution, I think, that goes into a surrogacy pregnancy that just is
and
inherent.
A lot of
it just kind of happens.
A lot of times a surrogate does it to themselves. It might not even be something the intended parents are asking or even requiring. You're just like, oh, well, I'm not going to do that. And it's your own type of mentality of doing it. So you're putting it on yourself, but you're doing it for a good reason. And again, if we didn't love surrogacy, there wouldn't be 8 journeys sitting here in front of us right now.
And that's why we talk about these things, right? And that's really what we're trying to do with this podcast and with Surrogacy Mentor in general is sharing information and empowering women with this information so you can make an informed decision, because surrogacy is beautiful and amazing. And some surrogacy journeys go off without a hitch from start to finish, from legal to postpartum. Beautiful, amazing.
More do than not. The only ones you hear about are.
Yeah. And then sometimes, you know, things happen. That's not to scare anybody away. It's just, you got to know it. It is a huge ordeal to kind of undertake and being prepared for the best and worst case scenarios is important because we want women to go into this fully informed and prepared for any of the things ahead so they can really make that informed decision prior to finding themselves in the middle of something not so picture perfect, even though most of the time it is. Just not talking about the not so fun stuff isn't helpful to anyone either. So we don't want to scare women, but we want, you know, people to be fully informed that sometimes things aren't as easy or as pretty as, you know, a reel on TikTok makes it seem or something like that. But ultimately,
I don't know about that. Like TikTok speaks truth and all of the surrogacy stuff's just like what you see on Lifetime. And oh my gosh, is it like Baby Mama? No, if I could hit someone the next time somebody asked me that question, I would.
I know this.
You know, it's all fun and games until you have to stare down those types of questions. Yeah. But it's bad journeys happen from lack of education.
Yep.
And that is ultimately probably more true than I think people want to talk about. You jumped into something, they jumped into something. Maybe you skipped steps. Maybe you didn't do this. Maybe you did do that. But I feel like surrogacy in and of itself is such a need. And it is beautiful. I'm looking for a different word because I think beauty kind of falls on skin deep a little bit.
Yeah.
It's more soul satisfying in a way, in a way to help someone like we talked about. It is truly the most ultimate pay it forward you could possibly do in a sense.
Exactly.
And it's not just the intended parent's life you're changing your own. And, you know, for me, one of the more satisfying of all of my journeys is my daughter. And she, even at a young age, comprehended what I was doing. A lot of times, the truth is ultimately usually the best case scenario. But my daughter at a young age understood what I was doing. And through the years, she grew to understand how babies were made, right? That how babies are made naturally. But she knew even before that how babies were not made naturally.
Yes.
And, you know, she through the years has gotten to hold, you know, and meet other people's families that she in turn helped build too. You know, she had to put our lives, you know, because like you, a mom, our world usually revolves around our kids, activities and social things. And, you know, our world pretty much. So when you're pregnant, whether it's your own or surrogacy, stuff gets rearranged. Yep. And sometimes it would be hard for a child to understand when it's not about their own sibling, it's about somebody else's. And so again, the honesty card comes into fact, like, hey, you realize this is somebody's baby. But she's, you know, gone through most of her life, at least a decade of her life, where mommy's pregnant in all these photos and there's no other kids here, you know? So, but that education that I've given to my daughter and that perspective that I've given to my daughter, has been really just something was kind of unexpected to me. So I think that's kind of an unexpected consequence that I've really enjoyed throughout the years. You know, it's been nice not being pregnant for a while, but I think one of the reasons I got into being a doula is because that, again, that need to help others, but that addictive feeling, it's still getting fed. It's still being fed at the very end as I'm watching, you know, two dads do skin to skin with their first baby boy or, you know, watching a cancer survivor hold her child, you know, and do chest feeding because they don't talk about that enough either. But again, another conversation.
Yeah.
Watching that moment happen, showing them how to put a diaper on or helping them bottle feed, you know, things like that. That little feat, that need for me, that is still being met in a way.
Yeah.
You know, what I'll do after all this is, I don't know, but that little bit helps me get through my days.
And then knowing that you've made an impact on so many different people's lives in such a positive way, I think it's an indescribable thing. It's hard to put into words why you do it and the feeling that you get from seeing this all come to fruition. And it's just, it's an amazing thing. And my kids are the same. Through my surrogacy journeys, they've learned that love makes a family. If you can help somebody, we do. Love doesn't discriminate based on gender or sexuality or location. It's just family and love. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. And they're just so matter of fact about it. It cracks me up. It was just not a thing, not a big deal. It's just what my mom does. She has babies for gay guys.
That's right.
And I just love it.
My daughter did something very similar in the first grade and it wasn't as well received. So that's why I was like, oh, I get the phone call. But, and again, just matter of factly, like, yeah, my mom's carrying a little Chinese baby and it's not ours.
Yeah.
But that's it. That's it. She, in a nutshell, that's what it was. Like, what else would you want someone to say? Like, I love it. I think it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I think this was a wonderful insight into the world of doulas and surrogacy doulas, which is just amazing. And everything that you've done is just awesome with your journeys and what you're doing as the doula and as the intake coordinator with Genesis. And that brings us to the end of this episode of the Normalized Surrogacy podcast by Surrogacy Mentor. I want to thank our very special guest, Jennifer, for joining us for this chat today. Be sure to check us out online at surrogacymentor.com and modernparentmentor.com if you're interested in knowing whether surrogacy is right for you. And take our 2-minute easy quiz on our website if you're interested in becoming a surrogate. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast to learn more about gestational surrogacy and how to have a safe, ethical, and enjoyable surrogacy journey. Talk to you next time.